Mark chapter 11, starting at verse 1. It's our second reading. As they approached Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' you say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and immediately he will send it back here." They went and away and found the colt tied at the door outside on the street as they untied it. Some of the bystanders were saying to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They spoke to them just as Jesus had told them, and they gave them permission. They brought the colt to Jesus and put their coats on it, and he sat on it, and many spread their coats in the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. Those who went in front and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." What a time of celebration. Time of celebration. Like the days of old that Warren read about, where Jesus was bringing
I lost my thought there. I was looking at something else. You know, when you're talking, you got to be a step or two ahead. And sometimes I forget which step I'm on when I'm looking two steps ahead. When Warren was talking about Jesus or David bringing the ark into Jerusalem, a time of celebration. Time of celebration. This is good. Side note, verse 6. It's amazing throughout the Bible the different things that God asks different people to do. You know, some of them are a little strange, I think. That's what I think. This, not as strange as others, but this is kind of strange. You know, okay, I want you to go across town in the parking lot over at Farm Bureau on West Saginaw. There's going to be a Cadillac sitting there, and I want you to bring it over to me. Now, if anybody says anything, "Why are you stealing this Cadillac?" just tell them, "The Lord has need of it," and they'll let you steal it. See, that sounds strange to me. Doesn't that sound strange to you? Do not try this at home. Okay, do not. Do not leave here and say, "Oh, the Lord told me to go get a Cadillac." Well, if he did, then he told you how to finance it to buy it, not steal it. Okay? Yeah. Sometimes. Strange things. But to fulfill prophecy, the Messiah had to be coming into Jerusalem on a colt. And evidently, Jesus and the disciples didn't have one real handy when they were coming into Jerusalem. But Jesus knew where one was, and he sent his disciples. That was my sermon last year on Palm Sunday. You remember that, right? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I knew you would. You wouldn't forget any of my sermons, would you? No. No. But if you will do what God tells you to do, please make sure it's God telling you to do it first. See? If you have any questions, come see me. I can help you. Okay? You know, because we just see, all year long, we just see strange things that happen in the name of God. Some people do some weird thing and, you know, somebody usually ends up dead. And they say, "God told me to do it." Okay, come see me first. If it's that tragic, come see me first. Okay, we'll talk this thing out. But in everyday life, sometimes God does do things and say things that are a tad strange. Like in a tough economy, every Sunday morning when you show up, put some money in the plate. Sounds a little strange to me. Tough economy, things are tight, already cutting back here and there. See, how's this going to help? Sometimes, he says, you know, when people are really mean to you, be nice to them. Yeah, the worst thing you can do is be nice to them. That's what he says. heat burning coals on their head. How nice is that? Okay. Overcome evil with good. Pray for those that persecute you. Sounds strange to me. But, just like the disciples found, they spoke to them when they were questioning about untying the colt. They spoke to them just as Jesus had told them, and they gave him permission. Oh, okay, the Lord has need of it. Okay. Not that they actually knew who the Lord was, because that term was used very frequently in Roman culture, the Lord. But somehow they did what Jesus asked them to do, and it turned out just like Jesus said it would. Everything is going to turn out just like Jesus said it will. Everything. He knows. And so, if we will follow Him, then things will work out. We'll put money in the offering plate on Sunday morning, and when things are tight, I'm cutting back. And I have everything I need. And when people are mean to me, I'm nice to them. And things are better somehow. Because God knows, and that puts God to work in our lives by being obedient to Him. Now to the celebration. Hosanna! Hosanna! Here comes the Messiah. This one we have been waiting for 1,500 years. Take David's place. You know, at this point, David was the best king Israel ever had. I'm not sure that's true, but at this point in these people's minds, that is true. You've noticed that the one that is gone is always better. Have you noticed that? Well, we had a preacher four times back, and he was really good. Now look what we got. Dang. Going downhill. Okay. You're always better when you're gone. And so David had a really good reign. David is the one that solidified the kingdom of Israel into a kingdom. And then Solomon built on that, and a couple others built on that. And that's what we want. Our Messiah, the promised one. He's going to come, and he's going to kick the Romans out, because we don't like the Romans anyway. And he's going to set up this nation, and everything is going to be great. We aren't going to have any more problems. This is wonderful. And so they're rejoicing. There's thousands of people in Jerusalem at this time for the celebration of the Passover. The Pharisees are in the crowd. They're rejoicing, but, yeah, they're faking it as usual. Because they've already been planning. How can we get rid of this guy? Can't do it during the feast, because the uneducated people just have an uproar. Judas is in the crowd. How can I make a buck off this guy? Well, that's what Judas was good at, was making a buck. There are people who are just good at making money. There are some. I wish they were my friends. But, there are some people just good at making money. Judas was good at it. Didn't necessarily have any moral convictions, but he was good at it. There are some people in the crowd that actually think Jesus is the Messiah. The disciples, some other ones, they have a kind of a wrong concept of what's going to happen. He's been trying to tell them, we're not setting up the kingdom at this time. See, first I have to come and be a savior for the people. Because the people have a sin problem. Sin has cut them off from their relationship with God. They can't save themselves, so I have to come and be a savior first. And then, somewhere down the line, I'm coming back to set up the whole kingdom thing. And we're in that in-between age now. That's where we are. The church age. And they didn't really get it. Even though they believed in him, they didn't get it. And like I said last Sunday, up till Monday, Thursday, they're still deciding who's going to be the best. Who's going to be at the right hand of Jesus? Well, I'm the best disciple. I'm the best disciple. I'm the best disciple. And they would argue among themselves who was the best disciple. There's some people in the crowd that are just excited. You know, ever seen people that are easily excitable? Yeah, I mean, Michigan State wins. Easily excitable. Don't really care about Michigan State. Don't know who plays on Michigan State. Don't really know what the basketball is. But they're partying in East Lansing. Yeah, I'm there partying. Yeah. Okay. Not necessarily the true converts. They're probably the same ones that remember a few years back. Hate to bring this up. But a few years back, when it was more than partying and people started going to jail and they were burning cars, that was probably the same people. See, it's probably the same ones here that are going, yay, the Messiah's come on! That Thursday are saying, crucify the bum, crucify the bum. Probably the same people. Easily excited. Just go with the flow, go with the crowd. Vegas, whatever, whoever I happen to be hanging around. We call that peer pressure today. Easily excitable. Most of the people don't have a clue what's going to happen this next week. For whatever reason, they just don't have a clue. Because they're looking at things like we do from a physical point of view. You ever gone over your prayer list lately? I mean, your personal. Say, dear God, I want the following 1,000 things. You know I need that third color TV set. Oh, yeah, after Jamie went to college, you know, we got a two-bedroom house, so we got a TV in the living room, TV in the bedroom, TV in the guest room. Okay, and one day we decided, can I tell the story? Too late now, I have to tell it. Yeah, one day I decided that our little 13-inch TV set in the guest room wasn't enough. Not that we have guests over. We don't invite nobody over. Okay? But a 13-inch color TV in the guest room is not big enough, so we went out on 20-inch. You know, dear God, got to have that 20-inch TV set. You know, I mean, a couple times a year, my mother-in-law comes on and watches it. She messes it up because she don't know how to do the satellite buttons, but, you know, we have to fix it every time she comes down. And the cat goes in there and unplugs the TV set. Yeah, that is true. That is true. You can't make stuff like this up. Yeah, I'll tell you. Our cat goes in and unplugs the TV set in the guest room. Maybe check. See, that's a lot of our prayer life is us. That's not bad. Unless it's only us. But God's looking at things in the long run. See, humanity's problem isn't that we're not educated enough. Heard an ad on TV just the other day. An educated world is a better world. Oh yeah, things are so much better now than they were in the 50s. So much better. Because we're much more educated now than we were in the 50s. Crime is down. Everybody's working. Everybody's got money. We got our own fig tree, our own garage. A little BMW set in it. You know. And you know me, I'm not against education. I am not. But it makes a really poor God. Just like material things. I'm not against material things. I have my fair share of toys. And I have more plans. I do. I do. I have a list. Dear God, you know I need. I have my list. God and I talk about that on a regular basis. But all the toys make a really poor God. They make great toys, but poor gods. And so when God's looking at this, he's saying, no, the problem isn't you don't have King David in Jerusalem. The problem is a sin problem, but I've come to take care of that. I'll take care of that. You don't worry about that. I'll take care of that. And after we got the sin problem out of the way, later on we'll take care of everything else. And that's what he's in the process of doing today. So when we're looking for God to come in, if you haven't read my article in the notes, that's a really good article. I'm not real sure where it came from. I sat down at the computer and this great article came out. I read it. I just read it because I get my notes first. So I read it again. I thought, well, that's a really good article. You're really good. Wow. I'm impressed. You know, it's really good. You'll want to read that. God's looking at things spiritually first, physically second. And so when we're all excited, yeah, Jesus has showed up, doesn't mean it's going to go your way. But if you'll be like the disciples that went after the colt, it'll turn out exactly how it's supposed to turn out. Trusting God, following God, being excited. Being excited is good. Being excited about God's even better. And letting God do His work in us, not trying to get God to do our work in His name. See, there's a difference. But us submitting to God's will, not trying to get God to change His will to fit our lives. And then when push comes to shove, which is a couple days from now, when push comes to shove, we won't be one of them sitting in the crowd saying, yep, He disappointed me. Crucified. Because that's what some of them were saying. He disappointed me. Crucified. And that won't be us. We'll be saying, "Boy, you know, my life has really turned out different than I thought." And how about you? Everybody over 25, has your life turned out different than you thought? If you're under 25, you don't know yet. But yeah, you think you still have control of life. I've been through things I never would have comprehended. Done things I never would have comprehended. And some of them are really cool. And that's what God does. He takes us down His path, if we'll allow Him to. His path. So in all of our celebration, let's not forget, a time comes in the next couple of days where Jesus is in the garden praying, and He's saying, I know you can take this cup from me, however, not my will, but your will be done. And when we're like that, here's what I want, but not my will, your will be done. Boy, if they happen to fit together, bam, Rick's got a new truck sitting in the park driveway. That is on the list. That is on the list. Yeah. Say. But if it doesn't happen to be, that's okay too. Because I actually have an old Oldsmobile that runs really well and gets 32 miles to the gallon. Yeah, my Cutlass gets 32 miles to the gallon. That's a 96. It's running great. Why would you want a new truck? Well, just because, you know, I'm a guy and I like new toys. No other reason necessary. Yeah. But ultimately, is it God's will, my will? Are we willing to submit our will to God's will? Can we celebrate Palm Sunday, the coming King, and then celebrate Easter? Because though it didn't work out the way I thought it was going to work out, it obviously has worked out Jesus' way. Can I be like that? Joys and concerns. Now, how many people know we have an online prayer ministry?